The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town.
Hi, this is Beth Dennis, and welcome back to the Intel Report. This is John Stetmore's show, and substituting. Okay, so, as I'm sitting, I'm sitting in a dire situation. I felt my life is in danger, and the superheroes failed to show up. So, the person who did show up the next day was the neighborhood minister or priest. I don't know who she was. He was dressed in black with a collar. And so, he sat down. My parents welcomed him in the house. He sat down. He opened his Bible, started reading, and as he closed his Bible, he said, "And you must turn the other cheek." Well, even as a three-year-old, as you turn the other cheek, I only have two cheeks. What is he talking about? Turning the other cheek. And so I deduced that he was not offering any material assistance that would create more safety. So at 3 years old, I realized that I was on my own. I realized that the police, my three favorite superheroes, Popeye, Superman, and Batman, the minister, and my two parents, were not adequate to provide any kind of protection. That my life was really in danger, and it was in a pretty frail situation. Now, that little piece of motivation at age three really stuck with me. Of course, the neighbors came back again when I was four, with another outburst and stoning the house and breaking the windows. And I was like, oh my God, it's worse than I thought. I need to figure out a solution to this. And then when I was five, the neighbors attempted to burn the house down because I was in the house at the time. And I was able to evacuate the house. But I realized with these three events prior to the age of six, three attempts in my life, that, you know, life was a pretty pretty temporary thing, and that no one particularly cared about my life any more than I did. And so, most people don't have those types of gripping, motivating events in their lives. And so, I'm not at the early age of, three, four, and five. And so, even though one might say, oh my God, Dr. James, it's just awful. Oh, the terrible thing that happened. For me, actually, it was, it was a blessing. It brought me very much down to earth. And I didn't really care much what anyone thought because I realized that they didn't care about me. And so that set me on a trajectory in my life of sorting out, well, how can I create a life where people care about me and don't want to harm me? How do I create that situation? And that was where my interest, or part of my interest in medicine grew up. Well, as a physician, or not so much as a physician, but as a healer, as someone who was helpful, people would say, ah, that's a helpful person. Let's not harm her. Let's go harm somebody else. And the strategy actually worked fairly well. Another thing that fed into the strategy was, just living, you observe that bad things happen to people, to country, whatever. And so my mother would always rationalize things. Well, this happened because this and because that, because. My father would say, no. People harm other people because they perceive that they can do it without punishment. They can do it with impunity. They harm people because they feel like it. Just because they feel like it. That's it. That's all the logic they're used to it. They feel like it. And so that gave me a lot of information. And so I said, well, how can I help people not feel like? How many? The answer, of course, was to be helpful to. And then they would decide that maybe they'd go find somebody else. And so that was my basic life strategy. So we are ready to take calls at 800-313-9443. That number again is 800-313-9443 for questions. You know what? I have a chat room too. Let me activate the chat room in case people want to put in comments. All right. The chat room is healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com. If people want to put comments in there, they can put comments in there. And that'd be great. All right, and we're going to 800-313-9443. Okay, so until people call in or communicate, I will continue with the event. So my parents finally decided, that's it, enough. We're moving out. We're not going to live in this hostile situation. So they moved to an integrated neighborhood, and they moved into a building that has 5 apartments. And so we lived there for a few months. I'm now in the second grade. And my parents decided, well, it's time to buy furniture. And so it's a Saturday morning. I remember next day was not a school day. Saturday morning, and my parents decided they're going to go shopping. My parents said, no, I take the kids with us because, you know, it's just easier to go shopping. Because I'm a little bit older, you know, I'm 7, my brother, I have a brother's 8, one that's 5. The twins are, you know, 10, and they all have instructions on how to stay inside and be safe. Of course, my brothers are all the lost side, but. And it's not long, so I hear a bunch of yelling and screaming, and someone runs up the stairs, actually my brother, runs up the stairs and says, get out of the house, you have to get out. And I said, well, wait a minute, Mom, Dad told us not to leave the house. So the house is on fire, you gotta leave. And so he's scurried down the stairs. And it was cold. Sorry, not much cold. And so it must have been fall, going into winter. And so my parents came home to an empty house that was actually burned, and no children anywhere. What had happened was there was a gypsy down the street who got into an altercation with the Hispanic downstairs. And so the gypsy decided he was going to burn the house down, and that would settle the score. Of course, I just happened to be in the house. And so the Red Cross, bless their heart, scattered us 5 children all over the city. And so, well, they did put me, one of my sisters, and my brother together. And so my other sister, the other twin, and the other brother were someplace else. So, my parents came to get us the next day, which is as soon as they could find out where we were. And so they picked us up the next day, and I think we might have lived in a hotel for a while. And then they purchased a house, and we moved into a house in the absolute atrocious worst part of town. It was the fruit belt in Buffalo. That whole neighborhood has since been bulldozed and now is occupied by a hospital complex. But back then, it was the fruit belt. And they were the public school 1 block from our house, PS 37, I believe, 37 and 32. It was notorious for kids urinating in the hall and girls in the hall being raped at age 10. And I was age 7. When my parents moved there. So it was a pretty bad school. It was a very bad neighborhood. There were prostitutes parading up and down the street, and there was no grass anywhere. Everything was just dirt and cement. Concrete jungle would be a reasonable description. However, in this situation, if I didn't bother anybody, nobody bothered me. There was nobody throwing rocks at my windows to break out the windows. There was nobody setting the house on fire. And I said, wow, this is pretty cool. This is a nice, neat place to live. It's pretty safe. I think I like this. So, while it was a pretty treacherous place to live, if you didn't bother anyone, they didn't bother you. So there was no issue of people showing up at odd hours to stone, kill, or destroy you. So I said, man, this is really all right. I think maybe when I grow up, I'll live in a neighborhood like this, you know, nice quiet neighborhood. And so that point cemented my determination to live in a ghetto, even as an adult. All right, a question from Roxanne. Hi, Roxanne. Roxanne from Texas.
Hi. What a wonderful story. You know, I'm your same age, 61, I believe. You know, I grew up in Michigan, and we had a big house, and my daddy was a lawyer. And we had people, because he had an office at home. He worked, yes, like, in a corporation. But we had people from China, Jewish, African American. Indian, from Native. I grew up not knowing what. I didn't know color. I just knew I liked everybody that was over all the time. So for me, I had to learn that later on in life, and that was really scary. But anyway, I got a couple of questions for you on your situation with DHS or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Did you file a complaint at DHS? It's called a redress, REDRESS.
No, I didn't do the redress because the thing is, the strategy I wanted to follow was to suggest that it was mistaken identity, that maybe I wasn't really the one that name on the list wasn't my name, it was really somebody else's.
Yeah, well, but once you're on those lists, it's really tough to get off. Have you heard of the CLEAR Project?
No.
That's over at City University in New York, in the Ramsey, R-A-M-Z-I, Kassim. That's the CUNY School of Law. They have, but I know it's for New Yorkers, but maybe you could just get some questions and ideas from them.
Oh, no, I'm from New York. My medical practice is in New York.
Yeah, well, it might be, you know, just a couple of different approaches, because it's devastating to hear that. But
it is devastating.
Because once you get on those lists, you know, it even takes, like they say, even up to 67 days for them to just even answer you, because I guess they're swamped, or they're lazy, or I don't know what they're doing, or they're the government, right? But
yes.
Anyway, I just thought to throw out a couple of ideas, because that redress and the CLEAR Project might be a couple of different ideas. Oh, and if you just type in, quote unquote, red flag, watch list, state.gov.com, and you can look down that list, because it could be a competitor of yours even. And if you didn't catch it, to kill
red flag, it's one website name, red flag watch list state.gov.com, no spaces.
Yeah, you type that in and it should come up on Google or whatever searches you're using. Because, you know, I was reading where they were, like, saying if you're sending a product across the state lines or country lines, you know, if you don't have the pills packaged right or it's offensive to the customer, I mean, really? But anyway, I just thought, take a look at that site, because that has some points of view, so to speak, out of the, you know, and they even state that they don't even have to have a real good reason to do this. If you plant a garden, you're a terrorist. If you put the gas and flag out, you're a terrorist. You know, it's absurd. But anyway, yeah. I'll let you get back to your show, and I just want to throw a couple things out for you.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, yeah, that's important. I mean, I think a lot of people, this whole thing about racism, I think so then there's integration. So when I got to be older, 11 years old, so at 11 years old, I was identified as a well-behaved black person that they could put in a classroom of white people without expecting anything bad to happen. And so, literally, a member of the school board came to visit my parents and said, we have identified your daughter Jennifer as a well-behaved Negro, and we would like your permission to take her out of the prison school and integrate her into a classroom that is mostly white. And so, of course, the incentive was they would teach me advanced stuff, I'd be in an advanced learning class, and all this other stuff. My parents said, oh, of course, of course. And so I went to a different school. But the new school I went to, there were some regular white people there. But I was with the children of college professors, lawyers, doctors. And so these people, they were white, and they didn't have, the racial stigma that I had. But they had other issues. For example, if a kid was the son of a lawyer, he couldn't get into an argument, or even worse, had to associate with or kiss up to the daughter or son of the politicians. And so literally this poor kid couldn't even pick his own friends because he had to have friends that would promote his father and his own social status. And so that was a problem. And I realized that, as bad as, having dark skin might be, or having people constantly try and kill me, the idea of me having to make friends according to my father's friends, or in order to preserve whatever social status I had, that was a lot of pressure. And I actually had even less pressure being in a situation where I had zero social status, didn't want the social status, and if I wanted to make a friend, I could. If I didn't want to make a friend, I didn't have to. I could just stay to myself. And so there was that freedom that I had. For example, the school I came from was a regular school, part of it was, but it had a special part for kids who had cerebral palsy, kids who were mentally retarded, and so I was selected to go to the school where they had this advanced class for kids who were gifted or somehow brilliant. Well, there were some white kids in my school, and they were selected as well. And so everyone knew that me and these others, the three other white kids, had come from the same school, whatever school it was. And so someone asked me what school I came from. And I told them, I came from Percy Hughes. And Percy Hughes' school was known as the retard school. So everyone who comes from there is a retard. Okay. And so people asked me, and I was like, Percy Hughes. And so, of course, the word got around that I was from the retard school, which didn't bother me because, I had two retarded sisters after all, and they were nice people, so, what's the problem being in a retard school? Not the way I figured it. But there was this white kid named Steven, I forget, and one day he cornered me in the hall and said, stop it, don't tell anyone that we're from the retard school. And I said, well, I didn't get it. I didn't understand what the problem was. But he was very upset because his social progress through the school was greatly hampered. The people think he came from retard school.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to the Intel Report with John Stadtmiller, Dr. Jennifer Daniels substituting. Okay, I think we've improved our sound situation. Hope so. I've been getting a lot of feedback from the chat room here, too. So I think we've improved it. So what I discovered then when I integrated was that while I had extremely low social status, which could not be improved no matter what I did, but it couldn't be worse no matter what I did. But literally, these students, the white students that I was in class with, if they didn't wear the right clothes, if they didn't go to the right party, if they didn't make the right friends, it adversely affected, or they perceived or believed it did, adversely affect their future, their parents' business. It was terrible. They had fewer freedoms than I did. I mean, as a poor black kid from the ghetto with no future, I could dress any way I wanted to. In fact, I sewed my own clothes. I didn't even need to go shop for them or have any kind of special tag or design or anything. It didn't matter. And so I had an extreme amount of freedom that my classmates didn't have. And I didn't have any pressure to befriend anyone that I didn't want to be friends with. So I think it's important to realize that people, regardless of their skin color, have adverse events in their life that they have to overcome. For example, by the time I got to medical school, and so all of us girls realized we all had some male issues, or I would put it that way. What it was really was a talk about women's, maybe women's lib or something like that. And so the conversation turned around to sexual abuse. And about one third of the women had been sexually abused as little girls, which personally I had never experienced. I feel very, very fortunate that I did not experience that. So everybody has something in their life that maybe is unpleasant or is troubling to them that they have to overcome or put aside in order to maintain their self-respect and their self-image. And so I don't particularly see my skin color as a handicap. The reason I say that is because I know a lot of people who have, let's just call it the correct skin color, that don't have a quality of life that I would want to have. In other words, I like being healthy. I like having clear skin and no wrinkles. I like all these things. And so there are a lot of people who have a lot more maybe money, privilege, skin complexion, whatever you want to say are advantages. And so what really comes down to each person deciding what it is they value and to fashion a life with the things that they value. And that's something that's really open to everybody, regardless of where they start out in life. So that's really my message. And so when I opened my medical practice, it was really, you can imagine, quite a big story. You had this African-American person who went to all these Ivy League schools, is coming back to the ghetto, and opening a medical practice in the ghetto. And so this reporter says to me, well, Dr. Grant, haven't you met a lot of discrimination? And don't you think it would have been better if you were white? I looked at her and I said, are you crazy? I mean, how many white people do you know just bought a city block and finished building a medical office on it? You know, I have absolutely no envy, no jealousy, nothing. I think that every person on this earth, no matter what advantage they have, you know, congratulations, good for them. You know, I couldn't think of anyone I wanted to change places with. You know, I'd successfully negotiated, financed, designed, built a working situation for myself that I was pretty happy with. And, you know, I was just very happy, and I didn't see where I needed to make anyone else unhappy by taking something that maybe they have and that maybe they value. And so this is a trap that the propaganda network tries to get everyone into, a trap of envy, a trap of hate, rather than just saying, hey, what do I want? And whatever you want, that's what's most important, and that's what you should have. And it may not be what the next person wants. And that, by the way, is a very important thing to grasp.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over two with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to the Intel Report with John Stadtmiller, and this is Dr. Jennifer Daniels filling in for John Stadtmiller. All right. So, I think it's really important for people to not be bamboozled, deceived, or conned into thinking that their life is controlled by these external forces. The other thing I found is just really, really helpful is having a view of yourself that's independent of these external messages. For example, when I was going to Harvard at one point, I had $3 in my bank account, and I was, of course, very proud of balancing my bank account. And so I was really thrilled that I had a balance of $3. Now, the other reality, of course, is that I was pretty poor. So the question was, how did I see myself? Now, the way other people saw me was, rich person's going to Harvard, they're rich, they're gonna be rich. This person is going to Harvard, has so much more than what anyone in the world is ever gonna have. And so people have this really grandiose vision. And then other people have this vision of, well, this person has brown skin, so they don't deserve to be at Harvard, and someone with white skin could have occupied that place. And then there were others who felt that, Jesus Christ, you got $3 in the bank account. Man, you're absolutely nothing. So did I accept any of these views? No, absolutely not. And did I go to financial aid and sign my name on a piece of paper to borrow more money? No, because I wasn't going to pay it back. I knew that borrowing more money would wipe out my future, and I would never be able to go back to my neighborhood and set up an independent doctor's office like I wanted to. So what was my view? My view is that I'm on my way to reaching my goal. I'm on my way to returning to Syracuse, New York, to the ghetto where I grew up, and starting a medical practice. That was my perspective. And that perspective, having my own perspective, independent of these propaganda messages, kept me from giving in to the, well, you know, you should have a BMW, just sign here and borrow this money. Well, you know, you should be driving this, or you should be driving that. Well, what about these clothes? You need some fancier clothes. I'm like, no, I don't need any fancier clothes. I just need enough clothes to protect me from the elements and, you know, to be socially acceptable so I'm not guilty of indecent exposure. And, yeah, I can sew my own clothes, and I'll wear the clothes that I sew. And, of course, they're not going to be in style because, well, I made them. And I can put my pockets where I want to and do this and do that. So, having your own particular view makes a huge, huge difference. And so how do you get that? One easy way to get that is to turn off the TV and the radio. So turn off the TV, turn off the radio, don't read the newspaper, and just walk down the street and look around and see what you see. And that would be the truth. The other stuff is just, again, hearsay. And sometimes you have to use, you know, rely on a little bit of hearsay. And so what I did was I got the news from people I met. So it would be from my patients. I'd say, hey, is there anything going on in the world you think I should know about? Or, you know, I would see the problems that they brought to me, and I would understand that the only reason they had this problem is because there were certain circumstances or events happening, as well as, of course, their perception of those events. But, you know, if you accustom yourself to relying more on your observation than on what anyone says, you will find yourself going in a positive direction towards your goals much faster and much easier than if you accept the information from any of these media outlets. And so it's very important to control the information that you get and to be proactive in selecting what your information sources are. And I would suggest that you use as your information sources live, warm, breathing, living bodies that you are familiar with. Because over time, you can actually judge, is this source reliable or is it not reliable? And that's something that is almost impossible to ascertain with, say, a TV news program. You have to make up your mind either you're going to believe it or not. But you don't have any way to second check it, second guess it, or confirm it. And so any information you cannot confirm is, I would say it's better ignored, any information you cannot confirm. You should always attempt to confirm any and all information that you receive. And most people who are frustrated or who fail to achieve their goals, it's because they're expending a lot of energy in directions that are irrelevant to their goal, or even worse, in directions that are taking them further away from their goal. And so this is something that it's important to for you to assess or take responsibility for. In fact, if your life is just like really not what you want, it's actually reasonable to say, okay, what did I do today? And do the exact opposite the next day and see how things go. Like when I was in the United States, I lost my license in the process of losing everything else. And I said, well, things are not going well. I need to do absolutely nothing that I did yesterday. And I need to just tomorrow start doing totally different things to see if that can help make things any better. So that's what you need to have the courage to do, to just stop doing everything you're doing. You think, you know what? It's not working. It's not getting me what I want. So stop it all and then search for the new things you need to do to bring you closer to your goals. And in my case, I just woke up one day and said, you know what? That's it. I have got to leave this country because I've got to stop doing absolutely everything that I've been doing. And that's something that I could not do while I was in the United States. And so once I left, then it was easier. And I was able to absolutely stop everything that I'd been doing and to start doing different things. And then as I started getting results, very small results, I started doing more of those things that gave me results and started dropping other things. And to this day, that's what I do. If something is producing results, I do more of it. Something is producing less results or no results, I do less of it. And it's really just that simple. Our call-in number is 800-313-9443. All right, we got lots of interesting information in the chat room. Looks like the audio is corrected. Got that? Someone said, forgot you're broadcasting from the tropics and not Texas. Yeah, it's the tropics. And we're entering the rainy season now, so it's just incredible downpour, sometimes even deafening. So that's to be expected. Let me see if I have any other questions here in the chat room. Real Mike in Colorado says, thank you for your efforts. You're welcome, Mike. All right, so that's really it. And we have Merbley. Hi, Merbley. It's always good to see you in the chat room. Yep, our call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. So that's another thing, too, is I was sitting here in Panama, and I figured out that I needed to stop doing everything I've been doing before and do something new. Okay, got that. And so I managed to create a little trickle of income, some months $1,000, some months $0. But, you know, overall it was enough to pay the bills. And then I got this bright idea. What's the one thing I know that if everyone knew what I knew, this one thing, then it would really improve their lives, it would save them thousands of dollars, it would just make their lives so much better, and they could be happier and reach their goals. And when I focus on that one thing, everything changed. All of a sudden, it was just like floodgates. Everything just became positive. So that is another way to handle things. Think of, because everyone's unique, everyone's different, everyone has some incredible gift. So ask yourself, what is the one thing that you know, that you're aware of, that is so valuable that it could change people's lives in a substantial, meaningful way, and make that thing available. Now, I was, as they say, internet naive. So I thought that I would take this one thing and I would sell it and people would buy it because, well, it's so valuable. And so I buddied up with a marketer and we did sell this one thing. And it sold $35,000 in 1 week. I said, oh, my God, that's amazing. The internet works. It really does work. But, of course, it was a PDF. And so everybody stole it, posted it all over the internet. And so the revenue from that was absolutely, it was gone. So then what I found was even after people read this and found out about it, then there was a whole new group of people actually willing to pay me to help them and guide them through its application. And so a lot of people say, oh, you know, if you have an idea, you need to copyright it so no one can steal it. And that's not true. First of all, even if you copyright something, it can still be stolen. So the thing to do is not worry about it. Just go ahead and put it out there, give it away, and then make yourself available for the next step. And people will show up and actually tell you what the next step is. And so, you know, whatever it is, it can totally change your life by trying to figure out how you can help and change the lives of other people. And then just go do it. And each step leads you to the next step. And, of course, the answer is not is not obvious when you start. It's not like going up a staircase where you know where the top is, you know how many steps it is. So you have to just take one step and then the next step and the next step, and each step puts you in a position where you can see to take the next step. All right, we have Rosemary in Maryland. Hi, Rosemary.
Hey, doctor. Let me turn this thing off 1 second. Excuse me.
And so the
revenue. Oh, man, I should have had. I got too many windows open here. I can't get to the right one. I didn't realize that you can't. I can't talk to you and listen to you on the computer at the same time. Let me get it in the room. Doctor, I wanted to ask you is, a lot of us are acting kind of squirrely from all the heavy influx, not only of the geoengineering, the chemtrails, and all that other stuff, but they've been applying a lot of electromagnetic stuff to it. Elena, E-L-A-N-A, Elena Freeland, F-R-E-E-L-A-N-D, has done some wonderful work. It came out with a new book, and it is as detailed with such wonderful information like Dr. Judy Wood did, called Where Did the Towers Go? These two women, and that's the other thing that makes me really sit up and take notice. The women in this world are the ones that are really sparking the knowledge, while the guys seem to be sitting back with their teeth in their mouth. But the question I have is, turpentine, and I will tell you, without your vitality caps, and I'm not saying this to plug them, but without the vitality caps and doing a turpentine, I call it a rinse every now and then, I'd be nuts.
Yes.
I can't believe the difference it makes to get all these nanobots or nanowires actually out of our bodies.
Correct.
And are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
Yep.
Just got a report from Kurzweil, old Raymond. And here they are showing in a report that just came out, June 2nd, pictures of them. They're admitting that they've got them and they're using them. They claim they're going to try them on rats next, and the activity that it's doing in our blood is supposedly being used for good stuff, according to the article, but that's BS.
Yes.
The point I'm making is, I wonder how many people are aware of what is going on and why people, as I said, are acting really squirrely. That's my question. Are you seeing it or not?
What I saw in my medical practice was when people started acting squirrely, and we'll just call it bizarre, and confused, that it was usually, actually, it was only one of three things. They were being poisoned, as with nanobots. They were or food additives. They were malnourished, no nutritional value in their foods, or they had parasites. And literally, there would be couples ready to get a divorce. And they take some, they take some vitality capsules, poop, and they get the crap out, and they stop giving each other crap. And all of a sudden, they're back in love again. And so I realized that a lot of what we see as incompatibility, people say growing apart, or discord, is really from people's parasites.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to a commercial.
Well, I do know one. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your courage, for letting people know all the things that you have learned many, many years of trial and error. I owe
you.
My life. I thank you.
You're welcome.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to the Intel Report from from John Stettmiller. This is Dr. Jennifer Daniels filling in for John Stettmiller. Okay, so what we're talking about is this idea of this external poisoning. whether it's the water, the chemtrails in the air, the GMO foods, and on and on and on and on and on. It turns out, though, that the protection from these things is actually pretty darn simple. So the nanobots are basically these little robots, we'll call them machines, that are inside, that are supposedly in the chemtrails. And when they get inside your body, they start creating RNA, DNA, and all kinds of disruptive particles that literally affect or influence your ability to function, and not for the better. So the thing to do with this stuff, I would recommend moving from an area where they have chemtrails. Excuse me, not every place has chemtrails or has as much of them. That's number one. Number two, what I found was I went to Chicago for a week back in 2011, 2012 for a conference. And in that week, I was so doused with all of this junk, you know, with the chemtrails, with the electromagnetic nonsense. My whole body broke out in boils and a rash, and itching and weeping. And unfortunately, I had not brought any vitality capsules or turpentine with me. I figured I was only going to be in the United States a week. And I just, by the time I got back to Panama, the boils were beginning to spread to my face. So my whole body was covered, my legs, my arms, my torso. And when I got back home and started the vitality capsules and turpentine, everything cleared up. And I have not had any problems since. But, you know, it makes a difference. And these things can be neutralized. And generally they're neutralized by things that have been discredited or disparaged. For example, when I was in medical school, enemas were disparaged. Turpentine was considered flat-out poison. The American diet was considered to be outstanding and perfect, not to be in any way altered, just give people drugs. And so the tip-off is anything that's being disparaged is probably pretty close to where the solution to your health lies. And I'll give you another hot tip. Our grandparents ate cow brains. It was just part of the diet. And it is in great measure why they were so much brighter and more intelligent than we are. And so literally, foods that could make you physically stronger and that could make you more intelligent have been made illegal. That's it. We're out of time. Thank you. See you next time. And of course, Think Happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.